Good morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name. Again, I want to welcome you to the Bible study. Let's just start with prayer. God, we want to come to you, come before you together as a group. It is such a blessing to gather together with your people and others that walk in this world, and yet are loving you and trying to serve you. And Lord, you, we know according to your word that you look down and you remember that we are flesh and that we are dust, we are weak. Lord, you know that we look into your word many times and we try to understand. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit would move in this building and in our hearts, Lord, more than just in this building, but in our hearts, that we could understand your word. God, you told us in your word to be wise and to be vigilant. We look around and we see turmoil in many different forms, and we know that your word is becoming alive. It is alive. But we know from what we see with our physical eyes that your word is true. We thank you, Lord, for your truth, that you never change, and that you are a God that reaches down to mankind and draws us. So draw us this morning, Lord. And Lord, as we look into your word, help us to understand. Give the brothers thoughts that would be of edification to the body, and myself, as I speak, that you would give me words and wisdom to share what we need, what I need, what everyone needs, Lord. Just want to thank you for this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Well, last Sunday I enjoyed the message very much, and it seemed like a lot of the thoughts that I had been thinking were being shared by a different brother, and that was really good. It wasn't from the same scripture exactly that I was going to, 2 Corinthians 10, but it's just amazing how the Word of God fits together and works together. Different writers, but inspired by the same spirit to write. We had looked at God and Satan. Then we looked at good and evil. And I guess I just wanted to continue on with some of those thoughts, and I welcome you to fill in where I'm missing, where I'm leaving blanks. I hope you have the courage to just try to fill that in then. Just in a couple Sundays, I don't plan to lead Bible study for a long time, but I don't think that I'm going to exhaust anything. So it's just a little snapshot, I guess, and the body keeps functioning, the body keeps sharing and helping each other, and I think that's how it should be. I am reminded again over all this study that God is so merciful and so gracious to us. I was reading in Psalms 103 the other day, and that God's mercy is so great and his grace is there, and it says something about I don't have the words with me right now. One verse says, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Another verse says, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. When I think of that, I think of another statement that Paul Washer has made in some of his messages. He said, The only problem with the gospel is that God forgives sin. And it sounds a little funny, I guess, but if you think of it, and he goes on to explain that if there would be a criminal and he would have done all kinds of evil things to our family, and he would go to the judge, and the judge would pronounce him innocent and let him go, we would call that a very unjust judge and very, very wrong for him to do that. But the only way that God can do that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. So, in a sense, we know God is a just judge, and yet he can forgive sins. And he is the only one that can do that. Maybe there's thoughts that you were thinking from last week. Anything that we need to rework or look at again? Well, I very much appreciate your thoughts and input into this. We had kind of left off with looking into Job, and maybe I should just share one more scripture. I wonder if I forgot to mark it down, but it says something to the effect that we're not ignorant concerning his devices, it says, and something like that in the King James, and talking about Satan, I kind of wish I had that verse, but I think I forgot to write that down. We're not ignorant of his devices. What did another version say? The way he comes to against us, I guess, in plain words. We're not to be ignorant of that. We are not ignorant of that. If we have any spiritual sight, we begin to see that we have an enemy, and the enemy is very serious in trying to destroy God's plan and God's people. Another man that I sometimes listen to, he said, if the devil doesn't know you, you're not worth a hill of beans. Basically meaning that if Satan isn't trying to get you, you must not be in God's plan. He must already have you. But we were looking at the book of Job a little bit. And we know the conversation here, as it were, between God and Satan about Job. And Job, if he was, he was in the flesh, so he was like us. He was a very godly man, but Job was not aware of this conversation, as far as I can tell. Right? And we are not aware of a conversation going on about us. If there is, and I believe that there is conversations going on about us. And then we see that in plain words, it seems to be clear here in chapter 1, verse 9, 10, in that area, that Satan believed that Job was only serving God because he had lots of possessions. And we kind of left off with a question of why that might be, and maybe you've thought of something that you wanted to share on that. Anyone? I'm not trying to trick you or anything.
I don't know if I have the exact answer, but the devil does know, and he's seen mankind for a long time, and he knows how important things are to people, and his deduction, obviously, I would say, would be that he's seen that, and he said, hey, he's so, like, there's nobody like him. That's the whole point. You've helped this man so much. You start taking those things away, he's going to be depressed like everybody else, or like many other people are in the flesh. Flesh gets some joy out of, or whatever, gets a lift out of things, and I don't know, just a thought.
Yeah, I think that's right. Anyone else? Yeah, we know that we had the first study we had here on the subject, or that I was leading out. We exposed Satan for who he is, and one of them was the deceiver. And yeah, we mentioned that he's not all powerful, but we are no match for him. He's eyeing mankind from the beginning. Imagine that, even Adam's in the garden there, and this simple, if we could call it, I don't know if, I guess I never thought of it much, did Adam name the serpent a serpent? We don't know for sure, I guess. I don't think it says that specifically that Adam had named that serpent. But he could have thought, you know, this is just this harmless little snake that I saw a few days ago, that I named a few days ago, and we don't think about it much. Any other thoughts? What are some of Satan's devices? A thought that the brother shared last Sunday was very, very important. He shared about the thought life and how that will affect us and does drive us. And the scripture says that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So I guess next time if we have a crop failure or a bad deal on whatever bargain we were making in our business, maybe we can think past that deal and consider what the purpose of it was to begin with. Maybe we won't be blessed double like Job was in the end. That's not why we would be faithful, because we might be blessed double, but we just need to be faithful because God wants us to be faithful, I think. And it's up to God, to, I guess, if he chooses to bless us double. If we're faithful, then that's great, and if not, we know that there's been many people in this life that have been serving God, and they have been tried to the limit, it seems. They seem to be faithful, and yet God did not double all their possessions, and the end for them, or in this life, was not all ease and prosperity. Any other thoughts?
Just thinking about things and how important things are. The first thing that was touched in Job was not only things, but his livelihood.
Continue.
I guess the battery had died. I was just thinking, I have a friend who somehow, through somebody not communicating the way they should have, I'm not sure how it happened, but his whole crop of soybean was burnt off. And his statement was that, well, I guess they were never mine to begin with, they were the Lord's, which is admirable, I guess. And maybe it was nasty of me, but I was like, well, why is it that we only think they're the Lord's when there's a failure?
That's a good question. Maybe we'll think about that one. Any other thoughts? Is that giving the first fruits? Yes, also last Sunday, we did read, I didn't read, another brother read in the message in Ephesians 6, which I'll just read again. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then, it goes on. But and we have, in another place, Satan called the Bible would give the idea that Satan is like the leader of this world. And yet, our English language uses the word world, I think, for a few different meanings, and sometimes that could... I didn't look at the Greek or anything like that, so... In James it says, if a man loves the world, he's an enemy of God. And yet, in a different verse, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his Son. And I think there's a very different meaning there between those two verses, because he doesn't tell us to not to love something that he loves, I don't think. I think we're called to love the things that Jesus loves, the things that God loves. One of the questions I had was, what is required of us to serve God or be considered a servant of God? And the other one is, what does Satan require of his followers? So if anyone has a thought on that, you're welcome to share on any one of those. What does God require or ask of his people?
I can't quote this, but I know there's brothers here that could. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. And that's kind of where I run out. But it's the message, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy might, and him only shalt thou serve.
Yeah, that almost covers it. Any other scriptures that come to your mind, or phrases of...
I was thinking of the verse in Micah, what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God?
Thank you. Anything else? Just by those verses, it's like God doesn't want part-time. And yet we have this phrase, if you give him your finger, he'll take your hand. In a sense, he's okay with the finger for now, if you'll give it to him, or meaning a small part. Here in 2 Timothy 2, verse 1 to 5, I'll just read that. This is Paul's words to another one, but I think this is God's will. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." Just this thought of if we've enlisted with God, if you think of a natural army, they don't take part-timers either. They wouldn't accept you if they would know that you're on your days off, you were working for a different army. Like, they'd think you're totally out of your mind. And yet in our Christian walk, sometimes we get tempted, or thoughts of it's not that serious, or this idea of being Sunday Christians or whatever, which I don't think there is such a thing, but I think when the gospel gets watered down and God loses his rightful place, and man loses the fear of God, loses the rightful image of God, of who God is in his mind, then we begin to have thoughts like that, and to go down those wrong paths of thinking. Another one was in Galatians 5, verse 1. And if there's any other thoughts that you have, just raise your hand. I'm not always looking for hands, so... Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled with the yoke of bondage. Yeah, we're supposed to keep focused on what Christ did for us. And I think that will help us to stand fast. I don't think we need to look back at our old life all the time, but to focus on Christ and what he's done for us, I think, is very helpful to remain faithful and to appreciate, live a life of praise and joy because of that. Another question I had, what are some helps for us so we can more clearly see these realities that we've been talking about? What are helps that you find in your life to be able to see these things or to be able to be reminded of them in that tight spot wherever you might find yourself from on Monday morning or whatever? Be as practical as you want.
Brothers of the same faith.
Brothers are a help? Yes. Very, very big help. Anything else? Well, one of the things that I was thinking of is in a sense, I guess, thinking of walking with God. Maybe that's a different question again. What does it look like to walk with God? But I think we're so blessed in this country. We have the Word with us. We can haul our literal Bible along wherever we go, and we can read it. And we also, one of the things that we're kind of bombarded with is technology. And I don't think that that's all wrong. We use it quite a bit, but my encouragement is to use it for the right thing. It's very easy to, if you have a smartphone, to have a Bible downloaded on it. It's very easy to have gospel preaching messages downloaded, and it's these are ways that we can, I think, that we can walk with God through the week. Maybe your vehicle has a little auxiliary cord that you can plug it into your sound system in your vehicle, and away you go. Or headphones or whatever. It's almost as easy to, I mean, it is very easy to get into other things as well. Be sidetracked, and by midweek or whatever, you're feeling like you're nearly drained. Maybe by the end of the week, you're totally drained. I think we can build ourselves up through the week, and I think we should be very conscious, make very conscious efforts of that, because as the brother was mentioning, Satan is not a fool. In a sense that he's not wise in knowing how to trick us. He knows very well what our weak spots are, because he may come as we talked about him being a roaring lion, We also talked about him as being an angel of light. I always think of it like, if he's not going to get you, he's just going to turn the dial down a little bit, and then he'll come again at a different angle, a little lower pressure, maybe a little different pressure. And if he still won't get you, he'll turn the dial down a little bit more until he's like way down. And if he can get you there, then he'll slowly start turning it up again. And that's how I sometimes think of it, or often. But we don't need to, we can walk with the Lord. The Lord is merciful, he's gracious, and I think he will remind us wherever we, if we have an open mind, an open heart, to these things. Any other thoughts? Joseph?
Good verse to keep in mind is James 4, verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you."
Thank you.
The disciples were having trouble. A man was telling Jesus that your disciples can't help me. They can't cast this demon out. And Jesus said, "These things come not forth but by prayer and fasting." And a little picture I had was, you know, sometimes we get a credit card or a little card or a prepaid card, right? You can get cards all over the place that are prepaid. Sometimes we need to prepare. We go into prayer. Are our prayers useless? Our personal times with God, how important are those times in preparation for the day, for the week, for the month, for the onslaught? Appreciate that verse in James. Resisting the devil. We can resist the devil. Sometimes we know it's a devil. We know it's not just our flesh. We know the devil is trying to get us down. And sometimes we can resist him with words in prayer right there and then. And there's probably other ways as well. But be active. Mm-hmm. Be proactive.
Yes, we may not see answers to our prayer instantly. Any other thoughts?
Yeah, my thoughts were on prayer as well. And when you talked about Job, there was a scripture in Job that really hit me or drew my attention. And in the side heading, it says prayerlessness. And maybe I'll just read a few verses there that this is Job. He spoke about the wicked those that have all they need. They spend their, in verse 13 of chapter 21 of Job, says, they spend their days in wealth and in a moment go down to the grave. Therefore they say unto God, depart from us. For they don't maybe say it audibly, or maybe they don't say it, but they're saying, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? Lo, their good is not in their hand. The counsel of the wicked is far from me. I guess that's a danger. It's been said many times in North America where the devil is very sly at telling us that we don't need anything more. And that lack of prayer to God, and that Alvin said, you know, being prepared for battle with prayer and not letting those deceitful things come into our minds that would say that we have everything we need. When it says, people that have that thought, they go down to the grave in a moment. There's no difference. Whether you have wealth or whether you don't, if you don't have the Lord.
I just thought of another phrase that an old man said. He passed away already. quite a number of years ago, but he said if the church isn't going to concentrate on prayer, they're going to pray in concentration camps. That was his thought of North America. And we don't know if we're going there or not, but it could be.
Just to add to that, one of the practical things I do is I listen to different messages while I milk a lot or work in the barn. And one of the men I listen to quite a bit is Rabbi Zacharias, and he has something that he says consistently, and it's something to this effect that if you fail in your personal devotional life, mainly whatever, prayer, reading, simply communing with God, you will fail. You will fail in everything else you attempt.
That's an older man, right? Yeah. Anything else? Well, thank you very much for your thoughts. I think we're going to close here shortly. You know, if you, again, like we shared the other day, we think of creation and God creating this whole universe and mankind, and Satan coming along. And I think we said something like that, in a sense, man finds himself kind of in between that those two powers. They're very, very different powers. They don't compare to each other. And yet they are drawing one to destruction, total destruction, and one to life, eternal life. And here we are, and God will not force us with anything. He's only offering. Satan is a slave master. He drives his people. We see destruction all around of people that have been serving him and following him. And the peacefulness of old godly people, there's a huge difference in the followers of these two. There's a huge difference. It, like I said, there can't be a comparison made between the two. And also, there's really not really a very good comparison between the followers of the two. Yes. So I encourage us all. I'm no different than anyone else, I don't think. We have temptations, regular temptations coming to us. The scriptures would kind of tell us that there's not a temptation that just comes to a certain person. Like, sometimes we're tempted to think that nobody else faces what I face, but I don't think that that's true. We're all being tempted by the same tempter, and he's used these things on others already. If you look at history, you can see. And he's not going to give up on us, I don't think. Not quickly. So that's about what I have to share, and I just wish you all God's blessing.